coaches. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, they can't hold a flame against you, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, got the game, it ain't no issue, yeah. Blowing the whistle, I had enough with you, the championship, it is gone. Ain't listen to you, I can't give it to you, cause you don't know what I've been on. This is the Coaches Podcast, ripping up everything off that.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back into the Fantasy Coaches Podcast. I am your host, as always, Coach Steve. With me today, we have some great, great people here talking about RB tiers part two. If you caught our show last week, we kind of went through a bunch of different tiers that I kind of created and talked about those tiers and talked about some of those players for the upcoming fantasy season. So Coach John, not with us again today. He had some other obligations, work, I guess. You know, I guess that's more important than the podcast, but it is what it is. But we do have always a fan favorite, Coach Jibs. What's going on, Jibs?
Hey, man. It's going well. Just another day in paradise, getting closer. 1 month of football, baby. Oh, let's go.
Yes, we were talking a lot today in some of our leagues about when we should be drafting our redraft. And, of course, the money situation is always a big thing to some of us. So we're going to try to keep it to a minimum, hopefully, this year. But you never know. But we did go and scramble a quick guest for tonight's show. Rod, what is going on, brother? How are you? Welcome to our show.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me, guys. This is fun. I always love talking fantasy football. Of course, NFL is, yes, a little less than a month away. But look, man, I've been swimming in CFL, USFL. Football has not ended for me, but I'm happy to have the NFL back.
I love it. I love it. So you're a new guest to our show. So why don't you let our viewers know kind of what you do in the fantasy industry?
Well, I work for the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I am a fantasy football analyst, I'll put it in quotes. I talk fantasy football, but I also talk NASCAR. I talk F1, just do all kinds of stuff for the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. But my true love has always been fantasy football. It will always be fantasy football. So anytime I get a chance to talk fantasy football, it's a great day. So thanks, guys, for scrambling up and letting me join you guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Going to love it. It's going to be a great show today, guys. So let's get right to it. We have some news to talk about, of course, as always here. So let's get into some news. So we have some things. Last week was a lot more hectic because we were, I think we missed the podcast or so. So we had a lot more to talk about. There's not as much this week here. Most of it's injury related here. We're probably not going to talk about too much of it, especially the first two, which probably we'll wait to see if something more happens to it. So N'Keal Harry suffered a high ankle sprain. We'll see what happens with him overall. I haven't heard personally anything yet on that. Donald Farham dealing with a leg injury. It happened over the weekend after like a day before. It was like Donald Farham's looking great at practice and then he gets hurt. Kind of just a story of fantasy football in a nutshell. But two I really want to talk about here. The first one is Matthew Stafford. And he's been dealing with that elbow injury that he had some shots put in over the offseason here right after the Super Bowl. But, you know, people, you know, hearing things, you know, he's not practicing fully constantly right now. Are you guys concerned about Matthew Stafford for fantasy as your possibly QB1 this season? Arad, I'll let you kind of go first since you're our guest today.
Listen, I he's what, 36, 37 years old. I'm 46. The creaks and all of the injuries that happen to you when you start to get that up in age. I'm astounded that these guys play quarterback at this age to me, because getting out of bed at 36 was like, okay, here we go. So, you know, I'm not necessarily all that concerned. He's played at a high level for his career. I mean, obviously last season was phenomenal for him and he's still that old. We get these, man. We get these little injuries. We get these things. We're not getting any younger. And so I'm not necessarily worried about this impacting his performance going forward, because the man's a professional athlete. We see Tom Brady playing well into his 90s. So, again, it's just a matter of how he can deal with this going forward and how much pain he's willing to deal with on a day-to-day basis to get him there. But as far as performance is concerned, he's still got Cooper Kupp. Like, he's still going to complete passes to that guy at an insane level. So I'm not scared away fantasy-wise for Matthew Stafford at all. Like, give me whatever. If anybody wants to let him drop to me, please, I'll take him.
All right. I like that early on excitement there. All right. Coach Jibs.
I'm not concerned at all. I agree with, like, Rod's stance, too. Like, think about this. Matt Stafford hasn't had a chance of playoff football ever. And he finally plays, what, two or three games, goes to the Super Bowl, he wins it. Man, that guy's arm's tired. He's been doing commercials, man. That guy will be, he'll get it together. Like, and I still, like, have complete faith in the offense. So, like, regardless, I believe his touchdowns are going to go down. Like, that's a sane number to throw. But you're still going to get a high-quality passer who's going to put up more than 4,500 yards, maybe 5,000 again. And you're just going to call it a nice little fancy day. Like, Matt Stafford's, like, QB should target late in drafts if you don't want to get one early.
All right. I have seen him in fantasy pros. I do keep like a weekly ADP update, and he's dropped about 10 spots over the last month or so. So some people are concerned. Clearly our guys here aren't concerned about it, and I love it. He's definitely someone who, if he keeps dropping, I mean, you can pair him up hopefully with Cooper Kupp if you pick him in your first or second round, whatever you choose there, and you're getting yourself a nice tandem there for the season coming up. So love that. Over to our next one here. J.K. Dobbins comes off the pump list. Now, you know, he went on early on, and he, you know, he's been fighting to try to get off. Obviously, we heard his, you know, Twitter rant against Adam Scheffler early on. It was Ian Rapoport, one of the two, a couple weeks ago. But he does come off the pump list now. How confident are you guys now in drafting J.K. Dobbins, knowing that he's off the pump this early in training camp?
Well, I'll tell you, I've been banging the drum for this guy. I took him in my fourth round of the Scott Fishbowl draft, and I'm not scared. This offense is going to run the ball, whether that's week one, whether that's week two, whenever he comes off. I'm not going to shy away from taking J.K. Dobbins at all, because I think that Lamar Jackson, look, he's going to get his. He's going to run. He's going to continue to be close to a 1,000-yard rusher in and of his own right. But they've got to have somebody else there. And J.K. Dobbins is supposed to be that guy. And so I keep calling this offense the triple option offense over there in Baltimore, and it's true. And J.K. Dobbins plays a gigantic part in that. So I'll take J.K. Dobbins. And again, a lot like Matthew Stafford, if you're going to keep letting him fall to me, I'm going to grab that value, because J.K. Dobbins is going to be a clutch performer whenever it is that he's fully healthy. And I honestly believe that could be as soon as week one or even week two. Like, this guy, he seems to be pointing all the right directions to be a performer almost out of the jump.
Oh man, like I was talking very negatively of him last episode, just kind of being cautious of him being on that PUP. But now that the wheels are off, I think he's going to have like a nice start to training camp. And I don't draft till September anyway, so I think I want to be all in the J.K. Dobbins camp. Hopefully his ADP doesn't fall too high. I think he's like round five now. I think he'll probably end up being like a round three, four running back, but I'm still going to take that value late on, because after that, it's no man's land, and we're going to be talking about these guys later on.
Yeah, no, I really hope his value does not rise, because that third round makes more sense as we get closer to September. If we're hearing, you know, he's healthy, he's out there playing, practicing, full contact, everything, he's good to go. It's been a while since we've seen him play on a football field, but I mean, the end of last year, he was just on the end of 2020, he was just on a rampage there as a rookie there. And we're going to see something like that this coming season here. Hopefully he gets that passing volume that we kind of saw from the Ravens RBs last year. So things are pointing up for J.K. Dobbins, and he's definitely back in my good graces. Hopefully he can just stay healthy for us this coming season, because that's going to be a key factor for him. So, all right, so that ends the news, guys. Again, there's not really much to talk about right now. There wasn't anything big over the last, you know, 4 or 5 days since we've been on. So we'll get right into our topic today. So we have RB tiers part two. Last week, if you want to go back and look, it talks about more of the top 24 RBs and kind of where I guess I made these tiers myself, I guess. So go back and watch that episode. But for now, we got some other guys to talk about. So we're into tier seven now. And I call this tier the zero RB tier, the last tier of, I guess, actual starting running backs. This might be a few more we might talk about later, but these are the kind of players that people might be going for if you kind of choose that zero RB approach and you want your first RB1. This might be the tier people go and finally get that right here. So, guys, start off, is there anyone that should or shouldn't be in this tier currently?
I'm thinking Damian Harris right off the jump should not be in this tier. He was almost a 1,000-yard rusher last season in his own right, and that was with a rookie quarterback. I mean, you give him another year with a solid quarterback play, Damian Harris is going to surpass 1,000 yards this season, in my opinion. And so,
all right,
I'm telling you right now, this New England Patriots team is going to improve. And I have a feeling that Belichick is seeing his team back on the rise again. It's a couple of rough seasons there for those Patriots, but I think they found their footing, and Damian Harris was a large part of that. 929 yards last year in only 15 games. Give him a full 17-game season. I think he's over 1,000 yards, and I'm going to keep saying this because it's going to keep being true. If you keep letting these guys slide to me, I will take them all day long. Damian Harris is going to be a better rusher than a tier 7 rusher.
Now, Rod, Ramondre Stevenson doesn't get you at all off of Damian Harris this season. Why?
Because Ramondre Stevenson, as good as he is, he was still sort of that spelling player. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was a guy that they would put in to – it was a lightning and thunder type of a thing, right? And we've seen this happen all the time. But regardless of it, I mean, look, Harris got his. He was, again, almost a 1,000-yard rusher, even with Ramondre Stevens in there. Now, another full season of Ramondre Stevens and to them to know what they're dealing with, I still think there's going to be enough to go around for Harris to be a lethal, not necessarily a tier. I'm not saying he doesn't belong. He belongs in tier one. I'm just saying he doesn't belong in tier seven. That's for sure.
Well, tier six was the low end RB2s with some question marks.
So, well, I definitely think he belongs at least in that category.
All right. I like it. Coach Jez, anyone there that stands out off the field?
That's pretty funny. The only thing that stands out with Harris with me, it would be the touchdowns. Like, I don't think he's going to be able to max. Like, we get those Patriots seasons where they score like 15, 20 touchdowns with running backs at a time. But, like, then we get those seasons where Belichick's mad finicky and then we don't know who's going to get the ball. So, like, I don't think that number could be sustainable. But I totally agree with you. Like, the guy, as bad as it sounds, like, he is like an RB2 in his regard of the volume he gets. Like, maybe Ramondre Stevenson cuts into some more, but Steve, I think this tier is pretty solid because all these running backs are going to get some touches in their regards. Some have some talent ahead of them. Some have some talent that's going to be like pushing them. So I think the only person I might have a slight to would be Edmonds, but I think
we'll have
enough production.
Next, to be honest here. So during a lot of these questions are players that we really haven't talked whole bunch about because they don't really fall in that category or whatever we, you know, most fantasy people would think of a certain category during the offseason if people want to talk about. Chase Edmonds really hasn't fallen in that category, and we haven't probably talked about him since March, really. But what's a realistic expectation for Chase Edmonds now in Miami? You have Raheem Mostert, you have Sony Michel. How do you guys see Chase Edmonds this coming season?
As a Niners fan, I recognize that you're trying to collect all the running backs because that's what the Niners did a couple seasons ago when they signed just about everybody that was out there as a running back. So Miami's sort of doing the same, and they're grabbing the Niners running back anyway. So to me, I'm not sure what Chase Edmonds brings to this that Myles Gaskin didn't, that Raheem Mostert doesn't, and Sony Michel doesn't. All three of these guys basically are RB2s, you know, if you're looking at what their capacity is this season. You add in another guy that now is low-end RB1, high-end RB2. You've got a muddled backfield. And we don't even know yet if all of these guys are going to be on this roster by the time it's all said and done. So this may shake out even better for Edmonds if they let go of a guy like Sony Michel or even Raheem Mostert, because I don't think they're going to let go of Myles Gaskin. That's a guy that's been with them pretty much ride or die. So, yeah, I think Edmonds' upside is capped so much by the fact that they've got all these halfway decent running backs in that backfield now.
Well, isn't like Myles Gaskin like a seventh rounder or something?
Yeah.
Hey, he's a seventh round pick in the 2019-18 draft.
Oh, he's glad busting me size of job. But for me, it's just even with like all those people in the kitchen, like I think they'll probably keep like Michelle, like Mostert, whatever, like he'll probably get hurt and then get cut. But if even with all of that, I still think like his receiving work would be capped because you still have like Jalen Waddle. You're going to have Hill working in these short areas, clogging up the space. Like, sure, like they're going to get theirs here and there on these little running back like screens and whatnot. But I don't think like he's going to have that much like insane upside receiving, and like obviously like the guy's not like the purest rusher, so then you're gonna see a second guy always cutting in. So Steve, I like to hear your perspective because like you're a Dolphins fan obviously, and you probably have a little bit inside of like what Mike McDaniels likes to do, so if you want to let us know on that.
Well, he likes to do a lot of different things. Rod probably knows a little bit about that, but this offseason I really haven't heard too much about the Dolphins RBs, and I listened to a lot of Dolphins news and podcast things to try to get as much information as I can out of them. But, you know, they're not really talking much about the running backs. It's all about the passing game right now. And it's about Tua and these wide receivers and the big playability to them. And, you know, a lot of people are torn, like, well, is it going to be all just short passes? But we're seeing, obviously, these big downfield throws in practice right now. Again, it's practice, it's practice. You know, it is what it is. But if they even try to model somewhat to what they're doing this training camp right now, where they're kind of going downfield more, it could help Chase Edmonds, you know, kind of get that underneath passing work. If Tua needs to kind of dump it off real quickly, and we know Edmonds' specialty is the passing game. I think he's locked into being that passing downs back, where he'll obviously see you down for, you know, runs on first and second down. But I wouldn't call him a guy who's going to see, you know, 8+ touchdown season or 6+ touchdown season. I think he does 4, but most of his work will come this fantasy season in the passing game. So in like a PPR league, I'm okay having Edmonds as my, you know, in reality, RB3 or 4, probably 4 if anything, personally. But if there are people who do go that zero RB route, in a full point PPR league, Edmonds could provide you a weekly floor. It might not be a ceiling play much weeks, but he'll probably provide you with a decent floor when and when not. So that's kind of how I see Chase Edmonds kind of playing out this season. All right. So let's stay in this group here real quick. One more people. These two, you know, high profile running backs who over the last few seasons have kind of disappointed us, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Miles Sanders, two guys who a lot of people hyped up. You know, Sanders was the next Barkley. Clyde was the Kansas City Chief, like just God's gift to earth in rookie drafts. We were talking dynasty before. But this coming season here seems like a, you know, breaking point for both these guys here. If you have to pick one to choose as an RB2 right now, who are you choosing?
What do you got, Jibs?
Oh, I'm going with my boy Sanders. For sure.
Why Sanders over Clyde?
That was a contract year for Sanders, of course. And, dude, like, the Eagles are as, like, good as they want to get on as a passing team, they're still going to be a very good rushing team with a good offensive line comparatively to Kansas City's offensive approach. And, like, we see Clyde's barely using the passing game. Maybe things will change. But the only thing about, like, Miles Sanders is like health. Like, if he's in there, he's going to be like a 100-yard rusher. Like, that's 10 points right there. He was unlucky in the touchdown department. I think he could improve with more than 0 touchdowns this year. So I'm just banking on Miles Sanders and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like, we're hearing, like, I know that we have the Kenneth Gainwell, like, hype train in camp, but, like, you also have, like, this Jane Prochet, like, hype train going on over there as well. So it's up in the air, and, like, both of these guys are – both, like, risky plays because, like, you know, like, there could be some guy in capacity to take them on. But – and there was a health issues. But I'm going to go with Miles Sanders this year. He got –
yeah, something. I'm going Miles Sanders as well. And only because, for me, it comes down to, just like Jib said, it's like, look, the Chiefs, they'll probably use anybody other than Clyde Edwards-Helaire if they need to. Like, they'll throw to Kelce. They'll throw now to Smith-Schuster. Like, Patrick Mahomes will run the ball anymore before Clyde. And we've seen how good Clyde Edwards-Helaire could be every once in a while. But we just never really see it fully, and we never see it consistently. But Miles Sanders, if they give him a shot more this year, I don't know how much more of a shot they can give him anymore. But, like, if they give him another – I mean, he had 750 yards last season, right? So he's obviously a good rusher. He can do – stuff when you give him the ball. And if people are writing the narrative that the Eagles are going to be better this season than they were last season offensively, I think Miles Sanders is going to be a part of that. He needs to be a part of that, to be honest with you, because they can't have Jalen Hurts running the ball every 15 seconds either. So it's got to come from that running game, and it's got to come from Miles Sanders at this point. This is probably his last chance to show the Eagles what he can do. Just like Jim said, this is a contract year, and I'm sure they're ready to let him go if he doesn't, but this is his chance. He's got to do it or not. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, probably still a little more room for him to grow. But Miles Sanders, this could be his last chance to show what he's got.
Yeah, I think I'm going to make it 3 out of 3 with Miles Sanders as well.
And, Sanders, you know, baby.
Clyde has not shown us consistently to be a productive fantasy running back. I mean, you have Ronald Jones now who can be a bruiser in the middle. And you have Jeremy Kennen, who's highly underrated as a pass blocker, which – it's pretty important to keep your quarterback upright, and something that Clyde has struggled with over his first 2 seasons in the NFL so far. So I don't know what his role really stands. And you have a lot of players who can play that short intermediate routes, so Juju, Sky Moore, you know, Kelsey, obviously. And you have Sanders who, like Jip said, like if he just stays healthy, he's the guy. You saw when he was on the field last year, he's the guy who's carrying the workload of this committee. And he has a great yards per carry average. It's like over 5 yards a carry over his career. It's just about the health. And I'd rather gamble on the health with an upside player than go with a guy who doesn't have that upside, really, who might hit. And he's been hurt, too. Clyde's been hurt, too, who just really hasn't put any real production up over his career. So I'm glad we agreed on that, guys. All right.
He isn't trusted in the red zone, either.
Yeah, definitely. Well, after that first game of his NFL career, how could you trust him? All right, so let's get over to Tier 8. And I call this the backups with standalone value. All these guys are presumably backups. Maybe James Robinson's a starter. I don't know. But most of these guys are the code backups now to their starters. But they all could be flexible options. Standalone value actually could perform on a weekly basis. It might not be a big play, but they could get you maybe 8 or 9 points here and there on a week-to-week basis, and you might need that sometimes. So is there anyone that should it or should not be here?
My question is, where's Kareem Hunt playing this season?
That's key, yes.
If he plays in Cleveland, then obviously he's definitely a backup with standalone value because we saw it year after year with him and Nick Chubb. He is definitely a threat in and of his own right, especially if Chubb goes down. It is Kareem Hunt's show. With Dearness Johnson, shout out AAF there in the wings. But even still, you know, Kareem Hunt obviously has that. And if he's that available that deep into drafts, you got to grab him. And look, if he's available that deep in drafts now, and you grab him now, he gets traded to somebody that needs a running back, a starting running back. I can't think of anybody off the top of my head, but you know, if he gets traded to a place like, say, I don't know, Houston, where he can be a number one back, all of a sudden that value just skyrockets. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I'm not scared to take Kareem Hunt in a draft if you give him to me.
All right.
Do you think he's likely to get traded after Brown said they won't trade him?
Who knows in this world now? anything can happen. Look, we're still waiting for Jimmy G to get traded somewhere. So, I mean, you know,
that's true.
Teams, yeah. Players, they can say one thing, but you never know what's gearing up. If they get the right offer for him, you best believe with all the trouble they're going through right now, they get a good offer, Kareem Hunt's gone.
They'll get obviously, things change. Like a running back could get hurt in camp before the preseason, before the season starts, during the season, and then hey, they got a little bit more leverage to do what they want to do. But the only person that stands out to me would be James Robinson if, like, he's coming back and he starts getting pretty right during the training camp and if he's pretty much clear to go for week one. That's a guy I think probably could be a tier higher.
I respect that. I mean, I agree with that. I mean, he's looked like he's rehabbing very well. So, I mean, that's positive. We'll see. So Achilles are hard to come by, but he's got a little bit more time and the less pressure to rush back right away. So unlike Akers did probably. So, all right, cool. So let's talk about some questions in this tier here now. And my first one goes to Tony Pollard and Melvin Gordon, both on high power offenses with their RB who is going in the top three rounds of drafts right now. Which of these two RBs do you trust more to be that flexible option, Tony Pollard or Melvin Gordon on a weekly basis?
That's tough. I don't hear what Gibbs has to say.
Oh my God. It is tough, and it also depends on league format. If it's a PPR league, I'm definitely going to go with Pollard. We know, like, Michael Gallup's kind of hurt. We saw James Washington is also hurt. So, like, there's going to be some lacking luster options besides CeeDee Lamb in the receiving game. So I think Tony Pollard could step up there. He could probably play two sets with Zeke in that case. And then, like, if you're just, like, guaranteeing me a number at the end of the season, I might take Melvin Gordon because, like, I know he's going to get – may not be that 50% that he got last year, but I know that man's going to get 45% of, like, the duties at least. Like, I don't see him unleashing Javonte that much. So, for a rushing basis, standard leagues, maybe – I think I'll still take Pollard in half PPR, but they're pretty much close. So I'm kind of split on it, but I think Gordon will have like enough value to kind of be a lackluster RB too and like a pinch for you if you need him to plug him in. So I want to see where they're going at in drafts.
You just infuriated Javonte Williams Nation. Like
I don't care. I'm standing on that flag. I'll stand there. I'll take the bullets. I'll do everything. I'm just like I'm just out.
You made everybody there just furious. Yeah, look, with Tony Pollard, you obviously know that he factors in heavily into that offense. You still don't know whether or not Javonte Williams is going to jump up and take a bite out of Melvin Gordon's overall production, much like we don't know what Ramondre Stevenson is going to do to Damian Harris's production this season. We know now that Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott are the 1-2 punch legitimately, and they're used as such. So you already know that situation. And there's a great fantasy analyst out there that says you're trying to limit the unknowns when you're playing fantasy football. And taking Tony Pollard is eliminating an unknown of what Javonte Williams can do to Melvin Gordon's production when you already know what you're going to get out of Tony Pollard year after year, you know, is 700 yards. Zeke gets hurt. Tony Pollard, they have no qualms firing him up. So he becomes the guy automatically. Obviously, you see him catch passes as well. So Tony Pollard is that running back to me that has probably more standalone value than Melvin Gordon does. And even Melvin Gordon could be the starter eventually. I mean, he rushed for like 900 yards last season. You can't really put him on the shelf that quickly. But you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, it just now you don't know this season what Melvin Gordon's going to do, but you know what Tony Pollard's going to do.
And I think, Rob, that's a great way to put it, to be honest. And that's kind of what made my decision to go with Pollard too, to be honest. I mean, I think Gordon's being slept on completely this season, to be honest. I think that's going to be a lot more work for both these guys. I mean, they only have two healthy wide receivers too. I mean, KJ Hamler gets hurt. Jerry Jeudy gets hurt. You've seen Cortland Sutton get hurt. You just never know. At some point, it could just be the Gordon Williams show in the passing game with Russ. So you never know. But you know what you're going to get with Tony Pollard. He's going to be involved in this Cowboys offense that clearly needs some pass catchers, and especially to, you know, help Dak get out of situations, which that Cowboys offensive line isn't what it was 4 years ago. Now it's a little different now, guys. He's going to get the ball, have to get the ball out much faster. And Tony Pollard will be probably on multiple sets with Zeke on the field. And he'll be someone who's going to just dump out, and Dak will get him here and there constantly. So probably go with Tony Pollard, but don't sleep on Melvin Gordon this season, guys. I think he's someone who's going to be someone who can get you this flexible value. So, all right. So one more in this tier here, Darrell Henderson. We haven't really talked about much about Henderson. Last year, I was a big hype guy in Henderson. But, you know, Cam Akers is supposedly back and healthy now, and clearly everyone loves him, even though Sean McVay said he's got two starting RB1s. What do you expect out of Henderson this season? You know, can he be relevant enough for you guys?
That's tough. I mean, Cam Akers is going to suck all the air out of that. I know he's got two RB1s, but Cam Akers, a healthy Cam Akers is a dangerous Cam Akers. And you'd be hard pressed to take a guy like him off the field if he starts to get hot. And I know Darrell Henderson is good in and of his own right. And they trusted him when Cam Akers was out and he did good things for them. But this offense wants Cam Akers to do good. They need Cam Akers to do well for them. So taking him off the field, I don't know if it makes a whole hell of a lot of sense, especially if he gets hot early. Yeah, he's probably going to come on Henderson as maybe a third down, you know, just to take Akers off to for one or two plays. But unless Akers is ineffective due to his injury or gets injured again, I'm not sure what the upside for Henderson is overall, and if he's a reliable flex option week after week.
Chris Chips?
I don't think he could be fantasy relevant either, just because, to your point, I think Cam Akers will probably be all right. And then Sean McVay, like, historically, he's just been running one running back for most circumstances, bludgeoning you. 80-20 splits in most circumstances. You can look at Henderson. I think like his highest snap share last year was 74% in one case, and when he was the lead back. So you just don't see that many opportunities for that second running back in Sean McVay offense. And if things stay straight, I don't think the second running back in Henderson's case would be utilized that much, maybe 8 times a game. That's not really going to get you much in fantasy.
Yeah, that's a nice way to put it. If we look back at last year, you know, Sony Michel was the backup to Henderson last year. And, you know, when Henderson was playing, Sony had like two games of just barely hitting 10 fantasy points in half point PPR league. So you just know that there's not going to be probably plenty of opportunity for Henderson to have any kind of ceiling. and maybe even a really low floor, to be honest. I think he might end up even have to be touchdown dependent, or he's going to have to catch passes out of the backfield, which, depending on how the receivers go with the Rams, if Van Jefferson comes back and healthy, maybe there's some opportunity there. But yeah, it's kind of hard to really trust Henderson this year. I'd probably be staying away from him unless you're the acre zone and you want to just grab that handcuff. But I don't want to really have anything to do with Henderson on a solo value. So,
well, even on his own right, I mean, Henderson only caught 29 passes at all last season for 176 yards. He got 3 touchdowns, which is not bad, but, you know, again, not the receiving threat, even with him being the only running back there to add value.
I agree. All right. So let's get over to tier 9, guys, as this guy, Cordell Patterson. I have no idea what to rank Cordell Patterson. So I'm going to leave it to you guys. Where should Cordell Patterson be among this mess?
Are we ranking him as a running back?
Yeah, I would say I'm ranking him as a running back still. I think he's going to be involved in this running game still. I mean, maybe if you guys could say no, he's not a running back, and then we'll just move on.
I can't wait for him to be a wide receiver this year, and Sleeper has him listed as a running back.
I mean, they'll list him as both, I'm sure, right?
Didn't
Yahoo do that once upon a time where they ranked, or they actually gave somebody the opportunity to be a wide receiver or a running back in their drafts? I feel like they did that one year where they let somebody be both.
He had it last year. But
I think he had it last year, if not mistaken.
Yeah. Well, look, 618 rushing yards last season. I have a feeling that with Marcus Mariota now, this Falcons team becomes a little bit more, dare I say, I don't want to say mobile. I mean, Matt Ryan's not a statue, but he was definitely not somebody that had the mobility that Marcus Mariota has. And they always say that the more mobile the quarterback, the better the running game is. And look, if Cordarrelle Patterson is going to be the guy that carries the ball again for these guys, I mean, I'm not taking him. Let's put it that way. And I'm not going to tell you to take him either as a flex play, but there are people that love the hell out of what he could probably end up doing for them this season. And I don't know. I'm not one of them. Unless you are, Jibs. Can you convince me?
No, I'm not one of them either. Even with that stellar season, he didn't even have the highest rushing share of his team. Mike Davis still had a high rushing share throughout the whole season, which is highly interesting. And like, he basically kind of maxed out. We'll even look at the last like 5 games of the season, 51 51, 54, 62% going back. So like, he's not even getting utilized as much as we think. I think he just got like, he was hyper efficient in the touchdowns in the red zone, which, because they were lacking options in the receiving game minus Calvin Ridley. So I think he'll get outphased by maybe Algier, and probably you'll see some Damian Harris in there, but I don't think he's going to be the guy. And even if he is, it's going to be crazy for him to duplicate what he did last year.
Yeah, I agree, honestly. I mean, you look down the stretch, I mean, the touchdowns were a big thing, but his receiving work was like, he had like 400 yards in the first half of the season. Second half, he had 89 yards. I mean, that's a big key factor. And this team just got a big downgrade at quarterback. I really can't see Marcus Mariota dumping the ball off consistently enough to give Cordell Patterson these wide open lanes to just go with the ball. You better just stay away from him. If he goes off for a couple of games where he just goes nuts, just take it as it is and just say, you know what, I'm cool. Because, you know, at some point during the season, someone else is going to get the work. And, you know, he's been a guy who's kind of banging himself up now at the age of 31 years old as a running back. If he was a true running back, we'd be like, don't touch him. You know, it's just that he hasn't really played much running back over his career. Now he's playing it, but he's also 31. Let's not forget, he's not going to probably hold up very well with a 250 carries or anything close to that. So just avoid Cordell Patterson at all costs if you can. Let someone else take the 2 or 3 games all season where he goes nuts, and then just let him deal with the mess afterwards. All right, let's go to tier 10 now. This is backups with upside. Kind of guys, I think maybe I would say that, like, they don't really have standalone value consistently, but they could have major upside if maybe their starter gets hurt, and that's kind of where I put these guys in this rank here. So anyone belong, not belong?
I think they all belong. My heart breaks for Ronald Jones, though. I was the hype train conductor last season for Rojo, man. I was like, let's go, free Rojo. But yeah, that didn't happen. And now look where he's at. I mean, he's in a mess already. And now he's even more of a mess because he's got CEH ahead of him and on a team that doesn't necessarily use their backup running backs to do more than just catch a pass or two here and there, you know, unless CEH gets hurt, like you said, then he has some upside. But if we're not high on CEH, we're definitely not high on Ronald Jones coming in after the fact, because I know that Ronald Jones is a great running back, but at the same time, a great running back in a bad situation, you still can't necessarily get excited for them as well.
True. Chips? Anyone?
I hate Kenny Greenwell's on this list, but yes.
Down again, but they might bring back.
You saw Boston Scott tear it up too, so like.
Don't worry, Jordan Howard will be on your team by week six.
Probably will.
I actually did see an interesting report. I think it was on Bleacher about potential cut people, and Ronald Jones was actually on that list. Kind of surprising. Hopefully that's not the case. But let's talk about some questions of this tier here. So some guys we really haven't talked much about is J.D. McKissic. I mean, he goes back to Washington on a two-year deal. You have Brian Robinson there now. I mean, is he someone that you're going for or worth drafting? That's the real question. Is he worth drafting? I mean, PPR leagues, do you want that PPR value? That could he get it there?
No, I don't think so. I don't see Wentz as like a hyper running back thrower or avid running back thrower in my case. And McKissic's just going to top out at maybe like five rush attempts per game. And like, if he doesn't get the, I guess, focalized points of passes in the offense, I just don't think he's going to be a sustainable person that's going to be giving you points on a consistent base.
I think it was a fun name to toss around last season, right? I mean, obviously he did come out and have a few good games, and everybody got excited about him and said, oh yeah, let's go J.D. McKissic. And, you know, it's fantastic, but he didn't play since week 12. Now that he's back, sure. But in that span, look, he really only, he caught 43 passes. You know, in the first half of that season before he went down. Not stellar numbers. His game logs are like five catches, two catches, five catches. He did have an eight-catch game for 65 yards. But, you know, again, most of them were just sort of pedestrian, two, five. And in a flex, 5 points in a PPR will do you all right, you know, with a couple more yards on that. But, yeah, by and large, I'm not sure that he offers a whole lot of value unless, of course, we do see him actually take some starts or take some starting snaps. But, you know, again, that's another one of those guys where I'll probably just kind of let slide and let somebody else deal with that hassle on what, which week to start him and which week not to.
Right. And last year, Carson Wentz, I mean, he threw to Jonathan Taylor 51 times, 57 times to Nyheim Hines, or 54 times Nyheim Hines, and that was his career low. So, I mean, you have to assume Antonio Gibson's going to get some of that work, maybe even Brian Robinson, who's a pretty good pass catcher himself. Just there's just so many mounds to feed in that offense now. I just don't know if McKissic, he might lead the team in targets still, but it might not be as much as we've seen over the last few seasons now. They have better wide receivers now. Curtis Samuel's hopefully back and healthy. Hopefully Logan Thomas is healthy as well. So they don't necessarily need to throw to the RBs as much. So unless you're in a full point PPR, I can't see myself still drafting McKissic anyway. So all right, one more in this tier here. Alexander Mattison, definitely someone that we definitely haven't talked much about this offseason here. Now, how high are you willing to take Alexander Mattison? Again, you have to assume that maybe Dalvin Cook misses a few games. We saw it last year. And when he's missed games, Mattison looked really good in the offense. Do you, how high were you willing to take him? You know, you'd say with Cook or without Cook on your team.
Okay, with Cook, I am willing to dabble probably in round 9 early. If I'm like really feeling that like Cook's gonna miss some time, like I might pull the trigger on round 8 depending on where I'm drafting at. But I don't know where his ADP is right currently, but
I'll find out for you.
As a Fresno State fan, I'm not touching him at all. We hate Boise State that much that I can't even roster a guy on.
Oh my god!
No,
you've been missing out, Rod.
I know. Well, let him be somebody else's. No, if Cook goes down, yeah, absolutely, he's a beast. Like he probably should be a starter on somebody's roster. To be honest with you, he is. a very solid running back that has shown flashes of being the guy that should be handling the load in somebody's offense. So I mean, look, if he falls to, I think you're right, Jibs, I think about round 9, round 10 is where I feel comfortable, but that's only if I'm feeling like Dalvin Cook is going to miss games. Cook has been a monster, right? And we saw him finally get hurt last season. Is it indicative of things to come? Maybe, but I'm willing to bet that he's going to want to tough it out regardless. Cause I don't think he liked, well, I don't think any player likes being hurt, but I don't think he liked being hurt at all and watching his team play without him. So yeah. But for me, Madison is a good safety valve. And I guess if I have Cook, I'm definitely going to want to go after him because that is one of those running backs that, you know, is going to carry the load if the starter goes down and can do good things for you. Whereas I'm not necessarily a handcuff kind of a guy, but yeah, Madison's one of those guys. If I take Cook, if I don't take Cook, if he's still around in the 10th round, I think I'll grab him there.
Yeah, I agree with you.
His ADP on Fantasy Pros is 111. Puts him about, if I do my math right here, I think about round 10.
Close to 10.
Middle.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm always been a big Madison believer, so I personally will tell people to draft Madison, but I understand why people don't. I understand why people don't. Even with or without Matt Cooks, I love to plan out my RBs with the high-end backups personally, and round 10, round 11, if he's sitting there, his upside that he could potentially have, it's risky, but I always love getting Alexander Madison. I did it all last year. It worked out for me a few times last year, helped me. But I understand why people don't want to. But I've always been a big Madison believer. So we'll see. Maybe this is a year Dalvin Cook, hopefully not, gets hurt and Madison gets that big season out of him. So I think he's in a contract year this year too, if I'm not mistaken. So we'll see. So, all right. So let's get over to tier 11. And this is the Houston Texans and Atlanta running backs, because that's how bad they are. Maybe not the talent of the players potentially, but the offenses and other just backups. So anyone belong or not belong here?
Jim's already said no to the head of his. Ooh, let's go.
Yeah, let's go in there to see who's in this tier.
I think it's a pretty solid tier. Like, if Gus Edwards wasn't hurt, I think he'll deserve to be on a tier up. But
need to be in a tier lower right now. Injury.
So. Yeah, that's a pretty solid tier, my friend. I don't know.
That's a break glass in case of emergency type of a tier right here. This is one of those where I might be looking for a wide receiver or even a third tight end if I'm down in this end of the you know, Gus Edwards, like you said, Gibbs, I mean the triple option in Baltimore, it's going to be used and Gus is going to get some of that. So look, if he's digging around in round, what, the last couple of rounds before I take my kicker and my defense, then if Gus Edwards is still sitting there out of everybody, that's who I'm probably taking out of all of these guys on here. I like Sony Michel, but again, we talked about the Miami backfield and how horrible that is. You want to like Mark Ingram, but you can't. I mean, you can like him, but I wouldn't roster him. So I think Gus Edwards is the only guy on this that I would actually take.
I think Rashard White and Herbert, Khalil Herbert, they might belong in the tier above this, but I might put them in one tier above this one tier, but they're here for right now, just on there where their ADP is sitting and kind of some of this I did off ADP kind of as well. They might belong in the next tier up, but that's just a personal opinion of mine. So let's talk about these rookies though. Dameon Pierce and Tyler Allgeier. Which one do you prefer this season? Because there's a good chance that both these guys ends up as the starting running back for this their respective teams. Who would you prefer?
I'm going with Dameon Pierce. That's going to be a better offense, more reliable offense, I'll say, first of all. Better offensive line. I think the Falcons are pretty much bottom four team offensive line in the NFL. So it's going to be some tough digging to get some production out of that. Like, if Cordell Patterson only measles up some 600 yards, I don't see a rookie running back going for 1,000 yards either. So,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, it's all a mess. This is all literally a mess. But, yeah, I would probably take Dameon as well just because, just like you said, the Falcons, Cordero Patterson's going to eat up all that stuff. Again, you still have Dameon Williams in that backfield. he's going to get some love as well. And yeah, it's just all sloppy. It's hard to give good advice in this tier because this tier is
wait really until we get to the next tier.
I know.
The last tier. Keep shooting for the rookies.
Yeah. Take the outside with the rookies. I mean, I don't hate Kyle Allgeier. I feel like if anything, he has a easier path to for the workload personally. I mean, I think Marlon Mack could still come back. I mean, he needed a year to get that Achilles, right? Not everyone could be like Cam Akers now. Some people do need time to rehab and do it right. So maybe Marlon Mack can still be something. So Damian Pierce might, maybe at the second half of the season, break out or whatever. But I think Kyle Allgeier might have an actual chance to be the starter day one, personally. I mean, I know it's not a great team, but there's got to be something there for the starting running back for some kind of team, especially in this tier. I'd probably lean that direction, but it's close, honestly. I mean, again, this tier is your end of your bench RB, so. So, Khalid Herbert, I do like him a lot still. So, well, I guess that answers my next question here. I mean, which of these players outside? I think, Rod, you already answered the question. You know, which of these players outside of those two rookies we just mentioned would you prefer on your bench?
Yeah, give me Gus. Give me the Gus bus.
Chips?
I'm the Gus bus as well. And I also would definitely, like, look at Jamal Williams because we know Swift hasn't been the – most healthiest camper either.
That is true. You've always been a big Jamal Williams guy. I remember that back in the day. Probably clear Herbert for me, guys. So, I mean, just enjoy his game and overall. And Dave Montgomery has been banged up a couple times over the last few years. He's been in the league, so you never know. So let's go over to tier 12. You guys might puke after this, seeing this last tier here. The low-end backups tier, last tier, potentially worth drafting here. And I didn't even name any of these players when I was going through this list. Wow. But this has Deontay Foreman, Chuba Hubbard, Kenyon Drake, Trey Sherman, Brian Robinson, Terrell Davis Price, Zamir White, De'Ernest Johnson, Damian Williams, and Jerick McKinnon here. So I think my only real question was – I guess I do, but actually the first one doesn't matter. Are you – anyone here worth drafting, in your opinion, as your last pick?
Or maybe I'm going to go Kenyon Drake. And he might deserve to be a tier higher. We don't know what the Raiders are going to deploy out there. I know they're not like that confident in Josh Jacobs after running him out on the Hall of Fame game like that. So,
fourth in the temp chart.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
He's fourth right now. So, just so you know.
Oh, my God. I'll do Kenyon Drake. If someone snags him before, just because he's a name that they know, you should definitely look into Zamir White and Brian Robinson as well. Two candidates of young players may not get their time yet. I think Brian Robinson might have a better shoe in the door because people aren't really high on Gibson in the Washington area either.
I respect it. How about you, Rod?
So, man, I want to tell everybody to take the Orlando Apollos AAF champion, D'Ernest Johnson, but obviously I know that that's not going to do well. I just have a soft spot for that guy. Look, Jerick McKinnon catching passes, I think, in this offense is going to be something intriguing enough, but I might be leaning more toward Trey Sermon, and maybe because I'm a Niner homer, but look, I know that if Elijah Mitchell goes down, it's probably going to end up being Trey Sermon's backfield. I know how frustrating it is. I know that Shanahan in the running game, and you can't trust – it's almost like a Belichick. You can't trust a running back. But we didn't get to see a whole lot of Trey Sermon. And actually, to be honest with you, I thought Trey Sermon was going to be the guy anyways going into last season over Elijah Mitchell. But Elijah Mitchell just ran away with the whole damn thing. So Trey Sermon's still a talented running back. We just didn't get to see it last season. Maybe we get to see it. And if this is my very last pick in the draft – before I'm picking my kicker and my defense and the guy that's probably going to wind up on the waiver wire in week two anyways, I'll take Trey Sermon just to speculate on this one. Because out of all these guys, I'm probably already drafting Jerick McKinnon maybe a round before just for his PPR upside. But, like, Dante Foreman, definitely not touching. Unless I have CMC, I'm not taking Chuba. Kenyon Drake is dead to me. So, I mean, that just pretty much leaves Trey Sermon on this list, in my opinion.
No Terrion Davis Price. You know, what do you think about him?
He's so bad.
Yeah. I don't know. That's like a that's a ripcord type of a poll, right?
Probably
there.
Saying about this about Elijah Mitchell last year. So,
oh my god!
I like Elijah Mitchell, but definitely didn't think he'd ever be an actual what he is now. So,
not a sixth rounder like that. No.
No.
Can I ask Rod one more question?
Yeah, go for it.
How many Trey Sherman shares did you get last year?
I did. You know what? Honestly, I had maybe one because I drafted late. And I started to see the writing on the wall. I always draft late too. And I was like, I love Trey Sermon early, but like nothing was happening. So I said, you know what? I'm going to stay away from that whole back. I'll take Mostert. Of course, that didn't work for me, but you know.
Facts.
We found out early on instead of having to wait out hope for half the season. Like, all right, now I got to. You knew after week one. I was like, well, I need a new player now. I was never a big Trey Sermon fan, that's for sure.
Oh, God.
But, Brian Robinson definitely stands out to me, honestly, as a last-round pick. He might go a little bit before that, but I definitely would love to take the shot and see what this backfield in Washington does. I mean, Gibson has gotten hurt. McKissick has gotten hurt. I mean, could there be a scenario where Brian Robinson is leading the pack all by himself at one point during the season? Absolutely. And he's like a mini Derrick Henry to some extent there. And God forbid if he ever gets that starting job. I think we even mentioned that when Derrick Henry was coming to the league. Like, God forbid if Derrick Henry ever got that starting job, which we all saw what happened. Brian Robinson could end up doing that. So in your last few picks, definitely worth a shot there. So, but do I have another tier? Maybe not. No. Did I miss anyone? Is there anyone I missed? There we go. Is there anyone
Benny
I missed
Snell.
That we should have mentioned?
Benny Snell.
Benny
Bum. Low end, backup, tier 12.
Vulture.
Yeah, the vulture culture.
I had to mention anyone else out there. So, but probably not from my eyes. At this point, I think I covered most of the potential running backs that you guys will draft, unless God forbid an injury happens, or God forbid something crazy happens, like Elijah Mitchell comes out of nowhere. So. Yeah, that is going to wrap things up here for us tonight, guys. Rod, you were a fantastic guest. Bring the energy here. Love to see that. I will give you the floor now. If there's anything you want to shout out, what you're working on, what you guys are doing over there, the floor is yours, my friend.
Yeah, just follow me on Twitter at RJ Villa Gomez. And of course, all my work on the Sports Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, ramping up the fantasy football season, man. And then we also got an NFL gambling podcast coming out soon. If you like NASCAR, I host a NASCAR gambling podcast. If you like F1, I host an F1 gambling podcast. If you like the Canadian Football League, I got one of those as well. So just keep an eye open on my Twitter for everything that I got going on. Pretty big guests lining up too for our F1 show. So you might want to keep an eye on that as well. But guys, I want to thank you so much for having me on the show. This was a blast.
We were coming back from Nashville and we saw the F1 set up in Nashville. I think, was it this coming weekend?
That was the IndyCar. Yeah.
Oh, the IndyCar.
Yeah, it was last weekend.
Oh, that was a lot of wow. Yeah, it was pretty cool as I'm watching them set up on the streets. I was like, wow, that's cool. Coach Jibbs, anything you want to mention before I sign us off here?
Nah, let's get into these wide receivers next week, though.
Yes, we are talking. Not next week, Thursday, brother.
Thursday? Oh, wow. Yes. Yeah.
Thursday. 2 days are hitting us hard already. But yeah, guys, this was a fantastic show. As I said, we'll be back on Thursday now. Talk wide receivers part one. We got a guest for that. Hopefully, Coach John is back. Tune in next week, guys. Next Tuesday, we are doing our pod-a-thon. 3 to 11, I will be on the show the whole time now, talking about fantasy with a bunch of different guests throughout the industry here, helping raise money for the Humane Society. It is next Tuesday, August 16th, from 3 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can check out our website, as always, at www.thefantasycoaches.com. We've got articles, our rankings, we've got podcasts, we have the Dynasty Coaches up there, a couple other different things got up there. Go check it out. And as always, find more updates, especially for the pod-a-thon next Tuesday, guys. Follow us on Twitter at Coaches Fantasy. So we thank you all for listening. Tune in until next time, guys, and have a great one.
The bag is not far-fetched. We got a couple of clock hands. I've been feeling super duper. How the heck they know the future? Come with me, don't be a loser. Grass is green like Koopa Scoopers. Clueless analysts don't do the half of this. In fact, I'm backing this by asking if y'all remember that tough act internacting. Like boom, running like zoom. The highest and mightiest entered the room. High off the knowledge, I'm feeling the fumes. All players covered, it's nuts, it's legumes. Opponents are doomed, and these are the facts. I keep it 100 like I'm running track. Listen up, Jack, I'ma head back to the blowing that, blowing that, blowing that, go.